In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today, we finally have reached the end of the year. And in a year like 2020, it's kind of nice that the church gets to close out the year even quicker than the rest of the world, because most of us are pretty tired of 2020. But there have been other years that people in general, and the church specifically, have tired of, and yet the Lord has continued through carrying us through them and leading us on to where we will finally be. And we know that that has not come yet because the Lord has not returned. We haven't heard the trumpet sound, the voice of the archangel. We haven't seen him coming in glory with his angels. We just see sunrise and sunset. We see rainy days and sunny days, warm and cold, sickness and health. We see the regular patterns that we're accustomed to. But we shouldn't become too accustomed to them, because things always change. And finally, either we die or the world itself dies when Christ returns, and all the rest of the changes will be affected. Jesus today continues going through what the kingdom of heaven is like, and specifically here, how the kingdom will come on the last day. And we can't say that this is how it's going to be exactly, because he gives us different pictures. And all of them together would be pretty scrambled. He gives us so many different pictures, though, so that everybody in listening to it and thinking about it and visualizing it can get some idea of what it's all about. And here, for people who are accustomed to pasturing animals, to herding, they know what it's like to separate sheep from goats. They know what it's like to separate something from something else. And, if you will, this last roundup then is when the people who have been hanging together all along, intermingling with one another, will finally be completely separated forever and ever. Jesus talks to those then who are saved, and those who have condemned themselves by their own actions, by their own misbehavior, disbelief. Both of them can't quite figure out what Jesus is talking about when he says, "You did this to me." The righteous, he answers first. And you wonder if the unrighteous were paying attention, why they have to ask again, because he told them already. But he tells the righteous, who were just busy about God's business, living regular, old, everyday lives, but living in faith, living in love toward other people, "You clothed me, you sheltered me, you visited me, you took care of me. Whatever it was that I needed, you provided." And they're baffled, because they didn't see that. They didn't see a king in glory sitting beside the road, a leper, or set upon by robbers, as Jesus would tell in one of his parables. They didn't see a king in his glory locked in a nursing home and unable to be visited by anyone because of a deadly virus, and wondering if anybody really cared, even enough to pick up a pen and take a card or a sheet of paper and write something loving and caring. See, these aren't just abstracts. There are people in this town and the surrounding area who are suffering in real life, in real and various ways. There are the lonely and sad. There are those who mourn loss. There are those who don't think that they ever had. There are those who are wondering, and especially this year, when so many of the food drives and collections and special dinners that are being held normally aren't happening, or aren't happening to the same degree. In big cities, missions and other organizations will feed hundreds of people on Thanksgiving, but now they won't allow hundreds of people into the venue. And churches gather food, but yet so many churches aren't gathering themselves, let alone gathering food for others. But when we look away from ourselves and our own problems, our own worries, our own concerns, and we see that there are others around us who need love, who need attention, who need care, because they are poor, they are sick, they are hurting. They are locked in a nursing home because of COVID, or they're locked in a nursing home because they're taking care of the people with COVID. Parents separated from their children so they don't infect them, and on it goes. How are we loving them? We don't look for Jesus in those people because Jesus doesn't say you were looking for me. He says you were looking at somebody who had problems and you met them. And that's what real love is. That's what he commands right here. Not that people are seeking to earn favor with God by doing good things for Jesus, but because they know that God loves them and they want to love everybody else the same way that Jesus loves them. Because they know already that they have been saved. And Jesus even speaks of that when he talks about the blessing that they receive. You who are blessed by Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. In other words, take what somebody died for to give to you. And of course, that's Jesus' inheritance that he grants to us. He died for us so that we might inherit everything in his name. We didn't die for other people. We didn't earn this. He gave it to us. And he then commends these good works where people took care of him as signs of faith. We don't earn God's presence because we do sit down and write a get well soon card to somebody. Because we do take a little bit of time and pick up the phone and call somebody who might be having a bad day, week, month, or year. We don't earn God's favor because we gather up some clothing and give it to Orphan Grain Train. Or any of the other ways, charities in the world and in the church that help other people. Jesus earned God's favor for us, and we are simply responding. Now those who are seeking to please God, those who are looking for a chance to do good in front of Jesus, to put on a show for him or whatever else, they're among those who don't realize where they have fallen short. But Jesus says to them, just as he said to the righteous, see them, see me. See the sick, see me. See the lonely, see me. See the naked, see me. Where? When? What? How? Because their service to the Lord must include service to others. Or they don't really believe. If we can't find it in ourselves to find compassion and to care for other people, then what faith do we truly have? How are we recognizing, acknowledging, and praising a Savior who came to earth, who suffered and died for us? We have a couple of hymns that we're singing on either side of the sermon today. A Christmas hymn and an Advent hymn that both speak about the shepherding that Christ does, that speak also about him coming in human flesh to be a servant, to be one of us. People had to care for him. He didn't come with self-cleaning diapers. He wasn't a self-feeding baby. Mary and Joseph and others cared for him. People came and brought gifts so he could be supported, not realizing that they were going to spend a lot of that probably when they were hiding in Egypt. People found shelter and food for him when he and his disciples were walking through the land, teaching, preaching, and healing. And even at the end, one of his disciples served him by taking his mother in and caring for her. At the end, somebody had to pick up and carry his cross out. At the end, rather than leaving him abandoned and neglected, something to be mocked even after death, people came and claimed that body and carried him to the grave, granting him some measure of dignity after all the indignities that he'd suffered over the past couple of days. Not to earn favor with God, but because that's what people do when they love people. And if we truly love people, then love is an action. Love is deeds. Love is care. Love is providing the clothing, the shelter, and whatever else people need for their daily lives and their special needs. And when Jesus says, see them, see me. Well, I didn't see any leper Jesus. I didn't see any naked Jesus. I didn't see any homeless Jesus living down by the tracks with a family of children who were hungry. Then you didn't see the people who were in need, and you never did see Jesus. Because he says, if you were blind to their needs, I'm now blind to you. Go away, you cursed. They aren't being cursed by God as much as Jesus is declaring the curse that they have set on themselves. They love their own lives, their own bodies, their own wealth, their own comfort, their own peace and quiet more than they love the Lord and more than they love those around them. And they can have their way and they can have a good life and they can go la-di-da through everything. But at the end, it all catches up. But those who have been quietly and steadily loving and caring and not even realize that they're serving Jesus are the ones who have been serving Him, are the ones who have been confessing Him, are the ones who have been living in faith. They see Jesus without looking for Him, so that when He comes looking for them, He can spot them clearly. And that's it for all of us. We don't have to stand on a street corner like some sort of strange duck out of water preacher, calling out to everybody and anybody who will listen or who won't. Well, there are times when we do need to open our mouths and talk about Jesus. We don't have to go too far to find somebody who has special needs, special cares, special concerns. You can turn your head and look around this room, and everybody sitting here has some sort of need that you can at least partially address. And your neighbors, your family, your friends, on and on it goes. But I'm not here to tell you to go out and work harder because if I tell you to believe in Jesus and trust that He's forgiven your sins, you will go out and work harder. You will go out and love your neighbor as yourself because that's what the forgiven, redeemed, beloved children of God do. That's what happens when we believe that Jesus came and suffered, not just for the whole world, but for us, for you and for me individually. He stretched out His arms and died on that cross because I was a sinner. And I needed His forgiveness because you are a sinner and you need His forgiveness. And as He reached out to embrace all the world, we reach out to share, to care, to give to all the world around us. Not counting the cost because Jesus didn't. He already knew He was going to make the ultimate sacrifice. And when He says, "Follow me," we do. In good times and bad, in sickness and health. And we celebrate that He loves us enough and cares enough for us to trust us with such a wonderful commission. He trusts us to keep our eyes open, our ears perked up so that we can find those in need and can do everything we can to meet those needs. We know we're not going to do it all completely and perfectly and well, but we know that Christ blesses the effort, and that even our second best, He can make a lot better than we try. But we do it because He did it for us. He was stripped naked and hanged on a cross. He served most of His adult life in ministry without a home to call His own, without a roof to put over His head, at the mercy of strangers. He went long days on short rations, and when He looked out at hungry people before He fed 5,000 or 4,000, He was already probably thinking about the times His own stomach had growled because He was too busy taking care of these people to take care of Himself. Jesus knows those things. And one way or another, you know those things. And you know that you have a way to help others who are experiencing them now. God grant you the steadfast faith to look around you and see that there are people who are hurting and helpless. And that you have something, anything, that can help them meet their needs. That you can love them as God has loved you. And you will know, if you ever do sit down to think about what's happened, that you have met Jesus and those people. But if you're busy enough doing those things, you won't ever have time to sit down and tally up the score, which is really the way it should be. And I pray that on the last day, you're just as surprised as any one of the sheep in today's story. When did I see you, Lord? I saw you seeing me, and I felt what you were doing to me. Come in and have the rest that was prepared for you. In His name, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus. Amen.